بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم Respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver Alhamdulillah with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we had discussed a few anecdotes Irshadat of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayhi last week. And we'll continue, inshallah, with the Fadl and Karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tonight. Just to recap, just a few that we had selected. One was the essence of noble character, and we discussed akhlaq, not to cause takleef to any person, to take something without the person's permission. This will cause him takleef if he look for that particular thing, whether he took his stick away, whether he took his pen away, whether he took his shoes away, without his permission. And when he will need it, then he'll be looking for it, be searching for it, you'll be causing him takleef for those few moments. So this is not akhlaq. This is not good character. Then we had discussed also about answering promptly. Answering somebody. Somebody asks you something. And there's no harm in that question. It's a straightforward question and you can answer him. But you delay in answering him, or you just ignore him, that that's not correct. Then we discuss the power of tawbah, that no matter how much sins a person has committed, but if he is sincere, and he makes sincere repentance, then just as we have dynamites and explosives that can bombard a whole huge mountain, like that person makes sincere tawbah, all the gunas that he committed, everything comes crumbling to pieces and everything is destroyed. So this is the power of Tawbah. And then we had discussed about Nafs and Shaitan, that Shaitan did not require another Shaitan to mislead him. What misled him was his Nafs. And therefore this is this continuous struggle against Nafs and Shaitan throughout our life. And we had mentioned about the qualities of women, that they have this jazba of making khidmat. They are able to serve very well. And of course, the second one was their chastity. Tonight we discuss what is the means of chastity. It is mentioned, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah has mentioned this. It is mentioned in a hadith, if you keep away from the woman of others, if it is mentioned in a hadith, if you keep away from the woman of others, then your woman folk will also remain chaste and modest. Respect your father and your children will respect you. From this we learn that if a person gazes at other women and destroys their chastity, the result is the chastity of his own woman folk will be destroyed. Now this is a very important malfuz, that we will cast lustful glances at other women. If we are not bothered about their chastity, especially if that woman is particular about her chastity. Perhaps she may be in hijab, in parda also. And for some reason or somehow we got some type of opportunity, and she may be not aware of it. She may be sitting innocently in one room, and from somewhere we may have got some access to watch this woman, which is totally haram. And now we are looking at that woman, we are casting lustful glances at her, she is innocent. The result will be that your own wife, your own daughter, your own mother, their chastity will be taken away by somebody else glancing at them. Now this is so important. Who wants somebody else, another ghair mahram, to come and stare at your young daughter, or your wife for that matter, or your mother? You'll become upset, angry, if you're walking with your wife, or your daughter, or your mother, and somebody starts looking and glancing and smiling at them. How would you feel? Exactly like that. Why should we do that to somebody else's mother or daughter or wife? A famous incident of the Sahabi, young person came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he requested permission to commit zina. Rasulullah ﷺ explained to him logically, would you like somebody to make zina with your mother? He says, no. With your wife? He says, no. Or with his sister, he said, no. So exactly like that, why should you interfere with some other woman then? Then Rasulullah places his hands on his chest and made dua for him. So if we cast lustful glances at some other person's wife, then the result will be somebody will do the same thing to our wives. So this is a means of chastity. We want our woman to be protected, then we must not interfere with somebody else's wife, or somebody else's daughter, somebody else's sister. At that time we don't bother that she's somebody else's wife. It's so common, so common, so common. How many people get involved with other women, or women get involved with other men, yet those people are married. That wife, she's got a husband, or that husband is married to a person. And we find that this person will write, I'm involved with this man, I'd like to get married to him. And when you find out, but she's still married to another man. Now all these things are so common. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah make our hifazat. Nobody is safe. If we stay away from those things that will take us to all these haram, then Allah Subhanahu Ta'ala will protect us. Asbab-e gunah se mubaadat. I think we mentioned that last week. That we should stay away from all those things that will pull us towards sin. Stay away from those things. So that was about chastity of our wives, our women folk. If we protect our glances and lower our gazes from looking at some other woman, Allah Ta'ala will protect us. Allah will protect our woman folk from the lustful glances of other men. Then Hazrat Thani Ram mentions about humility, tawazu. It is a great treasure. Tawazu, humility, to lower and humble oneself is extremely beneficial and advantageous. Servants of Allah Ta'ala have renounced the kingdoms for the sake of achieving humility. They did not bother with material things. After all, there must be a reason for them giving up the world and giving preference to achieving humility. Rasulullah has mentioned in hadith, Man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever lowers himself, whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And that's the important condition. He lowers himself for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Not for any other purpose. Sometimes the person can humble himself in front of another person, probably because he wants some loan from him. So in front of him is acting very humble. Person will think, MashaAllah, he's so pious. And then afterwards he'll put his request forward and maybe inshallah my request will be granted. So he's making tawadu not for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He's got an ulterior motive. In front of the other person, he's lowering himself because he's interested in the man's daughter. So now by showing that type of tawazu, the person will think he's a very good boy, rather getting married to my daughter. No. Man tawadha'a lillah, for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Rafa'ahu Allah. Then such a person, Allah will elevate his position. Allah will elevate his status. Here's the story of one buzuruk, either Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi or some other buzuruk. Was walking one day, and he was going for some program or some work, and he had his jubba on, very neatly dressed. And he happens to go past a very small bridge, a small pathway, and it's a puddle of water, muddy water. And from the other side, there was a dog coming. So it's the only place for one person to go across at that time. So Bayezid Bustami made sure he went on the dry path, and the dog had to go onto the water, pool of water. So obviously the water was splashed. So he splashed on Bayezid Bustami Rahmatullahi's jubba or whichever saint it was. So he began to frown. That my jubba got messed. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Mashayikh have written this in the kitab, Allah Ta'ala gave that dog the ability to speak. Allah gave it zuban. And this is nothing strange. In the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the animal would come and speak to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And complain, Ya Rasulullah, my master is overburdening me. Rocks would make salam to Rasulullah. Trees would make salam to Rasulullah. So these things have happened. Or it happened in the past. Nothing impossible. Allah Ta'ala can give the power of speech to whichever creation He wishes. The tree stump, which was in the house of in the masjid of Rasulullah, and Rasulullah would recline on it while delivering a khutbah. When the mimbar was built, Rasulullah no longer required the tree stump. So he went past, ascended the mimbar,
And he started giving his khutbah, the tree stump began to wail and cry. It cried so much that the sahaba was sitting, they began to cry. And Rasulullah actually descended the mimbar, came forward, and he had to embrace the tree stump and ask the tree stump, why is it crying? So the tree stump explained to Rasulullah that now no longer I will feel your closeness. You used to put your Mubarak hands on me and recline on me whilst you used to speak. Now you have ascended the mimbar. It's a long story. But the point is that Allah Ta'ala gave it the power of speaking. Hudhud, we discussed Sulaiman alayhi salam's story in the month of Ramadan. Spoke to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So like that, this dog spoke out. I said, oh Bayezid, that you frowned upon me. You thought of yourself to be superior to me. And this water splashed on you. All you had to do is just wash your jubba. It wasn't napak water. You just had to remove the stains on your jubba. But now you had pride in you. And it has caused so much of specks or dirt on your heart that even if you wash your heart with the oceans of the world, it won't become clean. Because you've got pride. Now imagine us, a buzuk, a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately Allah ta'ala reprimands him, immediately, so that they make tawbah and they turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Whole day and night, how much of pride we show, how much of arrogance we show. Shaitan, what was it that led to his destruction? خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِين. Allah told him to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. He said, no, you created me from fire and Adam from sand. Fire is greater than the sand. So I would not do it. Aba wastakbara. He refused. He was arrogant. He did not humble himself. So man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. So this tawazu, Hazrat Thani Ramzi, is a very great treasure. Great, great kings, Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, left the whole empire of Balkh. Why? He was seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He humbled himself. He himself, on his own accord, he removed the robes of a king that he was wearing. He was a king. He removed that gown, he removed that robe. And he wore a garment made of sack. And quietly came out of the palace, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how he humbled himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course we see in his life, what karamat Allah ta'ala then showed. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi. We had heard from Hazrat Ali billah rahmatullahi alayhi that a person was going past, Allah ta'ala made an angel go past in the form of a human being. Ibrahim bin Adham asked, what are you carrying? He said, I'm carrying the list of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi said, please include me, put my name somewhere even in the bottom. He said, your name is right on the top. So man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Wa man takabbara wada'ahu Allah. The person who shows arrogance and pride, Allah will destroy him. Allah destroyed Shaitan. Allah destroyed Fir'aun. What did Fir'aun say? Ana rabbukum al-a'la. I am your great Lord. This ana. Ananiyat in Arabic, to say it's me, mine, I. This is something that we have to take out of our lives. This I and my, we are nothing. Inna lillahi, we all belong to Allah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are absolutely nothing. Allah ta'ala, or Rasulullah mentioned in the hadith, to explain to the ummah, those of us, we have pride in us. So Allah Ta'ala or Rasulullah explains that what was your very inception? What were you created from? Drop of sperm. What are you carrying in your body? What will be your end result? It should be a corpse, dead body. Then why should you have that pride? Therefore this humility, this tawadu is a very great treasure. Really believe that you are the most inferior and everybody else is most superior. Everybody is most superior to you. Then you won't become angry. If you are rejected, dejected, you are not invited somewhere, nobody wants to talk to you, or nobody tells you what's happening, nothing. I don't deserve to be informed. I'm nothing. You won't become angry, you won't have any malice, you won't have any ill feelings, you won't feel sad, you won't be distressed, you won't be depressed, nothing. All this is when you have tawadu, humility. May Allah bless us with humility. Then Hazrat Thani Ram has got another malfuz here, which is very interesting. And again, alhamdulillah, hope our mothers are listening because they will get very happy. But it's very important. He says, pocket money for the wife. Tonight the wives will get Eid, inshallah. One of the rights of the wife is to give her some money, which she can spend at her own free will, which is called pocket money. The amount per week, per month can be stipulated according to the capacity and status, whatever is comfortably possible. This is important. You don't just give them so much, just go everywhere and start swiping those cards. No, that's wrong. Many women, they see, my husband is a doctor or is a lawyer now, they make great demands. That's not right. Of course, you've got to be reasonable. But besides money that we give the wives to buy groceries, to buy the meat, to buy the chicken and things, bread and milk for the house, which the husband, everybody else is eating, besides that, besides the monthly expenses, over and above that, you've got to give her some amount of money which she will use, as the Tanya says, on her own free will. If she decides to give that to her mother, and you don't like your mother-in-law, you can't object. If she wants to buy something, some food item or whatever, that's her prerogative. She's got the right. You can't ask her, now show me the slip, how much you, where you use this money. No. Of course, she mustn't abuse the money. It's a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could educate her, not to just waste that money. Don't go tell her, don't waste that money on your mother now, on your father and your brothers and sisters. That's what we do. That means now you're not giving her happily. So open up, because she's a human being. She might want to buy something. She's feeling like eating something. Now you're such a kanjus, you don't allow her to buy anything. One ice cream also she can't buy. So at least she got her own money. She needs to buy some dress, some whatever it is. She'll use that money. And if she saves it and she gives it to some, she can give it to charity, she can give sadaqah, she can do whatever she wants with that. That's her money. As the Thani Ramadan used to say, that whatever items we have at home, then we must make a list. These items belong to the husband, these items belong to the wife. And we will keep on checking the list. The washing machine belongs to who? The fridge belongs to, yes? It's something very important. Why? When the person passes away, her husband passes away, for example. Now, if those items were already the wife's, if the fridge and the micro and the stove, everything was already the wife's property before. So now the heirs can't claim that. If you got a list, these are my items, this is your item. We have cars. Now, sometimes the husband could have given the wife the car in his lifetime. Somebody asked me the other day, he's buying a car, but he's going to give it to his wife. I said, give it to her now in your lifetime, not afterwards. You give her as a gift now. So now, you're taking a risk also, because you give it to her, and if she passes away, or you pass away, a lot of things that happen, she marries somebody else, whatever it is. So the point here is, Hazrat Thani Ram says, you make a list. So you have no problem when either one of the spouse passes away. People know exactly, this was my property, this is my property. So sometimes we have cars. So you give it to the wife in her lifetime. And now she passes away. So now you can't say, no, the car was mine. And perhaps everybody felt that it was the father, he bought the car. But they were not aware that he had given it to the mother. Unnecessary problem, because then you will be taking something which does not belong to you and that is haram. Therefore, Hazrat Thani Ram says, keep on making this list. The easy way out, very easy way out, but I'm sure most of the brothers won't do that. Give them everything that you have in the house. Everything belongs to you. Finish. You need a little bit of courage to do that. If you love your wife, you trust her, you don't have any worry, then you give it for nothing. If she doesn't make demands and things like that, then give it to her. You'll lose nothing. You'll get sawab. It's your wife after all. But of course, if there's some problem, then at least make it clear what belongs to her, what belongs to you. Treat the woman folk with kindness. This is all from Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah. He was the Mujaddid Millat. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, we have to understand. People say, why we give about Buzrug Ghanidin, Buzrug? These people were not living in the time of Sahaba. They lived recently. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, you know, a couple hundred years ago, just over 100 years ago. But these people had understood the lives of Sahaba. They loved the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. They loved Rasulullah. The ishq and the sunnah you will find in their lives and the manner in which they will fulfill every sunnah of Rasulullah. Look at, we don't read the kitabs, we don't read the biographies. We don't understand who these people were. All we think of a Buzrug, he gives some ta'weez and some barkat and wazifa and for rozi and barkat and say from jadu and jinn, that's all, you know. The rest of the whole life we don't even bother about. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah's biography, RBT, is in English in many volumes now. I read with an open mind and you see there's so many beneficial incidents and how they reacted and what they did, how they lived with their family, how they lived with the murid and the students, what love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Prophet. Hazrat Thani Ram, known as Mujaddid Millat. He didn't give himself the title. But he was very, very concerned about Islah and Reformation of himself, people around him. People who would come and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they would not mise and they would not delay in showing the person the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did all this not for any dunya reason, not for name and fame or any monetary gains. Nothing, they had lillahiyat in them. Lillahiyat means complete sincerity, solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see, and how they made Islam. If we were, Hazrat Thani Ramadhan was living now, sometimes we'd wish, how I wish Hazrat Thani Ramadhan was living now, I would have taken bayat to him. In the manner in which he made Islam, sometimes to some muridin, we would not have been able to enjoy it. We would immediately become upset and angry, and we'd run away from there. You say a person came, as the Thani Ram says, a person came to me in Kirana, a village in India, to become bayat. Man comes, and take bayat. So he also brought a tray of sweetmeats, but with someone else carrying it. So he brought somebody to carry the sweetmeats. He's going to give it to Hazrat Thani Ram, but he has come to take bayat. So Hazrat Thani Ram, see, we have doctors and specialists and hakims. The patient hardly even explains his problem. Just by looking at him, over the years he's got experience, he'll tell him, this is your problem, and he'll diagnose the whole sickness. Immediately. There's so many hakims, all they do, just feel your pulse. Nothing else. Now not some jinn come in whispering in the ears, this is the problem, nothing. They've got experience, just by feeling the nubs, the pulse. Immediately they will tell you exactly what's wrong. There was one Hakim who came, he's still living from India, an expert. He came to Hazrat Rahman's house. So we were there in the evening. So my son said, Baba, I'm going to try him out. I'm not sure how he just sing like that and he'll just tell you exactly what's wrong. Maybe he's just trying his luck, whatever it is. So he said, I'm not going to tell him what's wrong with me. He just felt, he said, you got a sinus problem. And exactly what he was experiencing, he just by feeling his pulse. So experience. Many specialist doctors, you hardly even tell them the whole problem. They tell you, this is the problem. So many times you wake up in the night, this is the feeling you get, etc. Take this medication. So Mujaddid Millat says, Thani Rahmatullah, day and night, you know, what type of dhikr he used to make. And Quran tilawat, ibadah, the noor he had in his heart, the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not waste any second. He tried his best to live a life full of taqwa and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they would make out immediately, by the manner in which a person spoke, by the words he uttered, or the manner in which he walked, or a little bit of, just see how he behaves, his conduct, on that they were able to say, this man has got pride, this man has got jealousy, this man has got this problem. Now look at this, now we see a man brought somebody, he came to take bayat, mashallah, he used to meet Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, plus he's bringing sweetmeats, and he brought somebody to carry the sweetmeats, so what's there? Hazrat Thani Rahman said, I realized that this person had an effect of pride in him. How? He said, otherwise he would have carried it himself. He would carry the sweetmeats himself. He brought somebody else, he brought one servant, because he felt it below his dignity to carry the sweetmeat, the tree of sweetmeats. So Hazrat Thani Rahman said, incidentally, I had to visit a few places. So I told him, I have to go and see a certain person. I don't have time to make bayat here. So I told him, join me, maybe I'll make you bayat over there. So Hazrat Rahman mentions, so this man now joins me. That khadim had to go away, because now I was being far. So this man now joins me carrying the tree in his own hands. After reaching, I told him, the same, that is, there's no time here now. Let us go to the next place. So I had him carrying this tree around from house to house for 2 hours. I also ensured that we passed through the marketplace so that people could see him carrying this tree. After being vexed for quite a while and realizing that this evil of pride has left him, I finally made him bayat. And I also explained to him the wisdom of my action. Thus, a malady, pride, which is sometimes not eradicated through years of effort and devotion, but the grace of Allah, was eradicated in this manner within 2 hours. This is what they used to do. When somebody makes us do that, say, I'm a Maulana, I'm a Mufti, I'm a Qari, I'm an Imam of a Masjid. Why is making me do all these things? No. It is important that this pride comes out of the person's life. Why? The hadith says that person who's got a speck of pride, la yadkhul jannah, won't enter jannah. Okay, there's explanation regarding that. But it is something that Allah Ta'ala detests. Allah Ta'ala hates that pride. Allah wants us to reach Allah Ta'ala with a clean heart. So as the Thani mentioned, treat the woman folk with kindness. The hadith instructs us to treat the woman folk with kindness. For they are like captives unto you. Captives understand this. Doesn't mean you must beat them up, no. As I say, although the captor has full authority and control over the captive, it would be considered highly unmanly and unbefitting for the captor to ill-treat the captive, and especially in Islam. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who were taken as captives, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell the Sahaba, you feed them first, then you feed yourself. Imagine, you got to be kind to the captive. You got to see to his comfort, then to your own. So although the woman folk are under your authority, you have to make sure that you appreciate them and you take care of them. The Quran says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah intercedes on behalf of the wives. Allah says, you care for them, you look after them, be kind to them. In another malfuz he has mentioned, appreciation of the wives, he says for two reasons. Husbands should appreciate their wives at all times. A wife is like a captive unto the husband. It is unmanly and cowardice to ill-treat a captive. Perhaps in today's times, I'm not saying all, generally, the woman, she is a captive in the home, but nowadays maybe the husband is a captive. Bichara can't make any move, he can't do anything. He has to report to the Minister of Home Affairs every day. The reasons for this, sometimes he has done some things that has made her become very, very suspicious about him. She's caught him. So now she becomes paranoid. And she thinks every time, a poor fellow is going to a majlis, she thinks, no, he's going somewhere else. Honestly, some wives actually phone to ask if you had a program. Was there any bayan? Honestly, was there bayan in a certain masjid? So checking what time he came, whether he went there. So it happens. So sometimes the husband becomes murid of his wife. She's the sheikh. But here we're talking about general. The wife, she's soft natured, whatever it is. She is in the home. She's doing all the cooking, cleaning, seeing to the husband and the children, etc., etc. So the husband has to look after, appreciate her. And number two, Hazrat Thani Rahman gives a beautiful explanation. He says, appreciate her because of the deen. Both of you are Muslims. Like you, she also performs deeni actions. And one does not know who among you has been more accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a general rule that a woman is lower than man in every aspect. It is highly possible that by Allah ta'ala she holds the same position as a man or even higher. Do not think low of the woman folk. Allah ta'ala accepts the seemingly small and insignificant deeds of the helpless, the broken-hearted person, and raises her status through it more than the husband. So we do not know who is high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think that, mashallah, we come into masjid and majlis and program and we bring so much of dini khidmat. And they just said, no, what they know. No, in the eyes of Allah, what position she holds, you do not know. So imagine if her position is higher and you are lower than her and you are ill-treating her. Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah used to mention the hadith of Rasulullah that when a man calls his wife to bed and she refuses, then the angels curse her. Of course, if she got no valid reason, the angels curse her till the morning until he becomes happy or he forgives her. Otherwise, she's cursed by the angels. Now, we only know those hadiths. He said, okay, the hadith is in its place. Definitely, we don't question it. But you see, after all this, what you are? You are the husband, she's your wife. Now imagine the angels curse her. And she falls ill, she becomes sick. Or she meets up with an accident. She breaks her leg. She breaks her hand. She's lying in hospital. Now whose kharcho is that? Whose expense? Husband. Now he'll be more pareshan, nobody to cook for him. Nobody seeing to the kids. He caused this curse to come onto his wife. All he had to do is make sabar. Make sabr. But now you demanded and you got angry. And now the angels curse her. Now look at the repercussions of it. So, therefore, we have to make a lot of mujahada, make sabr, treat these women folk with kindness. We do not know who is who in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all are the bondsmen, bondswomen of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We are the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all going towards Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Then Hazrat has mentioned, someone wrote a lengthy letter filled with his anxiety and worries regarding his mundane and religious affairs. A person had written, I've got this problem, that I'm worried about this, and I'm anxious about this. So his whole letter is filled with different problems and worries and pareshani he's got. Dunyavi pareshani and ukhrawi pareshani. Hazrat Rahmatullah's reply was, Hazrat Thani Ram says, entrust all your affairs to Allah Ta'ala. Be pleased with whatever He decrees. This is the best method. If only someone tries it. This is what we term as tafweez. We've got different problems, yes. We try, use the means, adopt the means, see what solutions there are. But after adopting all the means, and for some reason you can't find a way out, and things look very difficult for you. You don't have to become so full of anxiety and now become so worried and so pareshan that you can't concentrate, you can't carry on with a normal life. Now you entrust it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is called tafweez. Ya Allah, you have put me in this condition. You're the only one who can remove me from this condition. Why you have put me in all that, I'm not questioning. You are full of wisdom, you are hakim. But Ya Allah, you are so kind. You'll never put me through such a burden that I cannot manage and endure. And then you have tawakkul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, entrust. Put all your affairs to Allah Rabbul Izzah. And you don't question anything. This is a very high maqam, very high position. And a person can do this. That whatever it is now, Ya Allah, this is your decision. And I leave everything to you. Once a person does this, then automatically all that pareshani, the zehni bojh he had, all the difficulty on his mind that was making him so worried that he couldn't concentrate in his salat, can't concentrate in his business. When he's driving also, he does not know where he's driving. Everything is gone. Like a mountain will come off your head. And also when you make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And zikr has great, great, great effects in it. La ilaha illallah. La. We sing la to all those things that are worrying us. Whatever that pareshani is, you've got huge debts. Not to say mustn't pay those debts, no. But somehow you don't know how you're going to do it. You've got some sickness. You've got some other family problem, some social problem, whatever it is. La ilaha illallah. Only Allah can help. Only Allah is hal al-mushkilat. He's the only one who solves the problems. I mentioned the other week, imagine a life without an Allah. Allah exists, He's hayy and qayyum. The whole world can abandon you. You've got no friends, nobody supporting you, everybody leaves you. You still have an Allah to turn to. And such an Allah who is going to answer you, who hears you, sees you, and He will help you. So therefore, Hazrat Thani Ramana says, entrust all your affairs to Allah Ta'ala. Be pleased. This is called Rida bil Qada. That Ya Allah, whatever condition you have placed me into, whatever you have decided, I am razi, I am happy. Is it one more, inshallah? Avarice, the root of all evil. Greed. He says, greed is the cause of all troubles. It should be termed the root of all spiritual diseases. For this causes arguments and fights. Now, businesses, what is it? You've got greed in you. You want more. So you'll argue with the rep. You'll argue with the neighbor. Your client. Your supplier. And it goes on and on and on. It is for this very reason that court cases occur. And Allah forgive us. Allah protect us. Blood brothers, blood brothers. Blood sisters. Family members. Father and son. Or father-in-law and son-in-law, just over money, dunya, greed, you will actually take the own family member to court. It has happened. We're not mentioning names. We don't have to look at who it happened to. And that's not our business. It does not happen to us. Over this few coins, small possessions, we have huge court cases. And who are we giving that money to? Where is it going to go? Therefore, Rasulullah has mentioned in hadith that if you leave sheep hungry for some time, the meaning of the hadith is, they're locked up in a pen, or you've got not two sheep, you've got two hungry wolves. Two hungry wolves. Ma dhi'bani ja'i'an. You've got two wolves and you keep them hungry, starving. Suddenly you open the cage. And there's a huge flock of sheep there. Now what will the two wolves do? That will be biryani for them. They will devour that whole flock of sheep. Why? Because they've got this greed. They were hungry. And we see the devastation they will cause because they were hungry and greedy. Rasulullah explained that this devastation, this nuqsan, this destruction that these two hungry wolves have caused to this flock of sheep is nothing compared to the greed man has for his dunya and the destruction he causes to his deen and to his honor and status. The destruction he causes to his deen and his status. Hazrat Thani Ramana explains, he says, in the absence of greed, no one would suppress the right of another. If there's no greed, then you won't suppress the next person's right. Because you have greed, you want your full right. You're not bothered about the right of the next person. Greed is also the cause of theft and evil doing. Why will a person steal? Because he wants more. It is the root of all akhlaqi radhila. Radhila means debased qualities. Talk about razail. And the opposite of radhila is hamida. We have good qualities. Hamd, praiseworthy. So this is what we have inculcated. This is the tasawwuf. We are removing those qualities which are debased, which are poor, inferior, terrible, wicked qualities, evil qualities. We are removing that from our lives. And what we are replacing it with, or what we bring into our lives, qualities of which are going to be praiseworthy. good akhlaq, good qualities. A person does not become satiated when the demand of greed is fulfilled. Greedy person, he'll eat so much, he'll eat, and he'll still ask for more. If a man has two jungles filled with gold and silver, or two valleys filled with gold and silver, he will still desire a third one. This is a wrong assumption that fulfilling his desires will quench the thirst of greed. Never. People feel that if I know I just have that one more, after that I won't be hungry. No. In fact, the more his desires are fulfilled, the more it will demand. Nothing will fill the stomach of greed except the sand of the qabr. When the man is gone, what do? Stuff the qabr after we put lower him down with sand. وَلَا يَمْلَأُ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ وَلَيْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ. The Muslim says that the only thing now will stop his greed is the smitti, the sand that now we put into his mouth, or we bring below him to the grief. Because now he's no more. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala guide us. And these are all things which are very, very important, these malfuzat, to bring into our life. So we cannot change in overnight unless Allah Ta'ala wishes so. But we have to try and bring these good qualities in our life and remove these bad qualities from ourselves. Let's not worry about everybody else. Worry about ourselves first. Islah, reformation takes place with ourselves. Sometimes we'll hear one or two anecdotes and we want to force it down upon somebody else. Very easy to command the wife and children. Let's bring it in ourselves, become examples for them to follow. Somebody asked that, how come the wife, you know, we explained, but we don't see her doing these things. And I said, if you become the example, automatically she'll see, you know, you can see the change. Or the young son goes home and he says, immediately we can see our son looking different, man. He's got good qualities now. Let us also be like him. But if you haven't brought those qualities in your life, how you expect everybody else to change? Today we want to become the muslih. We want to make Islam everybody else but ourselves. Let us first become salih, pious ourselves. Yeah, if Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and then when we can make other people Islam in a nice way, then we do so. But first let us bring those good qualities in ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.